What's up, everybody? This is Joffer Papa Pump Penazai, aka the Beast of the East. And when I go down on women, it's a feast with my main man, John DeMatmaz. How you doing, man? That was a good one, right?
That's something Tom would say.
I know. Well, today we got one of our good friends. We've known him for years, Tom the Tank Alecchio. How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing great. I love the intro, guys. I love it.
I always got to come up with new ones, man. So, you know, it's been a while since we caught up. So just fill everybody in on what's going on with Tom Galecchio in the current moment right now. What's Tom working towards? What is the big thing going on with him?
Well, the big thing is I'm getting ready for the MFC lightweight title. And if those of you don't know what MFC is, it's Canada's number one show, probably number 4 or 5 in the world. Big things are coming.
That's awesome. Now, Tom, you switch weight classes, right? You're down to like a real skinny. Are you still at 155?
I just moved down to 155. I fought most of my career at 70.
Now, for most people that don't know, you've been in the MMA game long before it's been popular. You were kind of in like the early stages of the New Jersey and the East Coast game, right?
Yeah, absolutely. When it was still called NHB, no holds barred. I'm actually celebrating my 8th year of pro fighting, April 22nd.
So you're kind of like the old man in the game, huh?
Yeah, dude, I've been doing it since I was 19. Now I'm 27. Time flies, man.
And how many professional fights have you had?
26.
Oh, my God. And back then, there was no amateur, right?
No, there was no amateur. That came about a half a year or a year later.
What was that like just getting thrown right into professional NHB MMA rules, being like, you were pretty much a grom, like a little kid?
You know what? My first fight was for this event called Sport Fighting. And back then, there wasn't many cans and gimmies. I fought a very tough fighter named Mark Stevens, a veteran of the sport as well, who's also a very good fighter. And man, it was, I didn't know what to expect. It was definitely something that you got to experience to really know what it's like. And man, the game's changed.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, you started with the group known as Pitspen?
No, I haven't. A lot of the Pitspen guys came to us. I was with Rhino Fight Team.
Okay, and basically they didn't have a concept of, oh, start amateur, build you up. They were like, hey, fight anybody, anytime, anywhere.
Sink or swim. That was our motto.
And now, Tom, what team are you at now?
Dan Henderson's Team Quest.
And, I mean, me and Joff had trained with you back in New Jersey for quite a few years, but when did you make the move, and why did you make the move out there to California?
Well, I'd say I made the move about 2.5 years ago, probably be 3 around August, so it's creeping up. I made the move because in Jersey, there's no one-stop shops.
I know what you're saying.
I come here, I got a world-class Muay Thai coach. I got a world-class grappling coach. I got some really, really great wrestling coaches and tons of training partners that are, you know, in the top 50, in the top 10.
Who are some of your training partners out there, Team Quest?
Right now, Tarek Safadine, he's going to be fighting for that title shortly at 170 in the UFC. He's a real stud. Sam Alvey, he's also fighting on the same card as me. He's a middleweight. He's another stud. He's on his way to the UFC.
He was on the Ultimate Fighter, correct?
Yes. He fought at 70. He starved himself to death to make 70, but he should have won that season. If it was at 85, he would have won it.
Now, Tom, I wanted to ask you real quick. You know, being that we were mentioning, you know, this podcast, we like a little controversy. We're not going to put you on the spot too much, but, you know, I know it just as well as you know it, and Maz knows it. The training here is not what you need to be a professional athlete. So let's just say, what is your normal training day like over there with Team Quest? Because I firmly believe you cannot be the top training in Jersey.
It's hard in New Jersey. You know, it's unless you're Frankie Edgar, you got to travel to make it happen. But as far as my training goes, I wake up, usually go on, I have my two glasses of water, go on my 2 mile walk, you know, just to cut some weight. Then I get in, and then it's pro team training right away. So, you know, it's either sparring or cage work, wrestling. We do a lot of sparring at Quest. Then I get a short break, and I'll work mitts with my Muay Thai coach, and then usually do a wrestling in private after with my wrestling coach. And then I'll go at night to grappling. Sometimes I'll do gi and no gi, both of them at the same time.
Now, Tom, most people don't know about you is that you like to call yourself a one-trick pony. Almost every submission you have in your fighting career is a rear naked choke.
Yeah. I have rear naked chokes.
Say that again?
12 finishes, 11 of them are rear naked chokes.
Oh, my God. Wow. And, I mean, and now you're a proud owner of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Black Belt, correct?
Yes. I don't like to be, we'll call it an American belt.
But what is your actual style that you call your style of fighting? I find that pretty interesting.
I kind of consider it like a catch wrestling, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu kind of mashup along with American wrestling. Or we could also call it some Thai Jitsu with wrestling.
There you go.
When I used to come see you fight in Atlantic City and they would announce that, I was always laughing my ass off.
Yeah, I still keep up with my Thai Jitsu at wrestling. In fact, somebody even tried to steal it from me. Brian DeMuro came out to Thai Jitsu after I beat him and took my first belt.
Maybe you should.
He had it on shirts and shit when I was in town. I was like, oh, Brian DeMuro, Thai Jitsu.
Now, I noticed, you know, I remember you from back in the day, Tom. Like, you were always killing yourself no matter what during training. And it basically, you know, you had people telling you go to class, do this, but you almost ran your own camp. How advantageous is it now to your career to actually have a coach and people who monitor you day to day to make sure you'll be ready for your fights?
Oh, it's great. You know, we all like discipline and being told what to do, you know, especially if it's that old wrestling mentality, you know, listen to your coaches. It's nice to know what you're doing is on track, and it kind of takes a lot of the guesswork out of it.
Now, with being with some of the more higher-end coaches and actually being with, you know, Team Quest and Dan Henderson, has that helped you get into some better organizations and get some better top-tier fights to maybe make it to the big show?
Well, I was actually struggling out here in California to find fights. None of these cats wanted to fight me because you can look at my record. I fought tough guys and good opponents, and you know, at the time, beating me wouldn't get them to the UFC. A lot of the guys like to pad out here. But actually, my friend's wife, who's now my manager, Sam Alvey's wife, got me in with the MFC after he won his title. And that's been very, very – it turned my career back around, especially making the cut to 55 and actually having training camps. It's nice. 8 weeks' notice is a nice thing.
Dude, you're a pretty big guy. I mean, you're like a solid dude. How hard was it for you to cut to 55? Like, what are you walking around at now on average?
Like right at this moment, I'm about 170. Before I started this training camp, I was about 85. I don't know. I bulked up a little between this and the last time. I was about 77 the last training camp for 55. The key is you got to stay disciplined all throughout the camp. I'm not going to make, I'll probably only cut 6 pounds the day of.
So mainly you'll actually lose the weight and you won't cut like these other guys do where it's like a 15, 20 pound drop.
No. I don't have all the tools too that they have where they like have IVs and stuff. I just have trouble getting all that shit. So.
Yeah. But dude, you're so close to Mexico. That can't be that hard.
Yeah.
I'm actually thinking about going to Tijuana to get one.
Let me know. I know a guy knows a guy.
Well, here's another thing, too. It's so funny because you wrestled in high school, right?
Yes.
So it's probably, you know, having that wrestling career, it was probably pretty easy to – you probably were used to cutting that much weight, but now that you're not cutting that much weight, you probably feel stronger at now that it's only a 6 pound cut.
Let's put it like this. In my senior year of high school, I wrestled at 160.
Okay, wow. So and at that time, were you cutting a lot too, or were you
cutting little? No, not too much. Not too much. I probably should have went 152, but my coaches didn't believe I could make it.
That's all. I mean, now.
Well, we believe in you.
Yeah.
Yeah, if only we had a time machine. I've been working on that.
It's so funny, though, to see you actually follow through with this, because I know a lot of your peers at the time, they basically, in a way, they kind of gave up. You've been around for a long time, and now it's like your career has been reborn.
Yeah, it has been reborn. It really is a huge rebirth for me and my career. And it's just been awesome. You know, I've been down in the dumps for a while, and coming out here and making things work has really been a huge boost for me.
Now, how'd you get in contact with Team Quest? Did they reach out to you? You reached out to them? How did that all come together?
You know, I realized I had to get out of the spot I was in because I wasn't improving. I was just kind of plateaued. And although I was the top 170er in Jersey at the time, I, you know, not signed to the UFC, I needed to get better and needed to go out. So I called a ton of gyms, like Greg Jackson's, a.k.a. Duke Rufus's. And none of them got back to me. And then when I was like, fuck, maybe I do suck because none of these guys want me. And then I was like, oh, shit, Dan Henderson's got a top-notch gym. And I called them up, and they actually picked up the phone on the call, like, right away. There was no, like, call me back. I called them, and they picked up. Within, like, 3 or 4 days, I was out there. They're like, yeah, come out here.
Wow, did you kind of experience maybe, like, a little bit of a stigma coming from New Jersey where – I know, like, that California / East Coast vibe, maybe people don't really get along sometimes.
You know, people here are a little bit more laid back. I like to think we're a little bit sharper in Jersey. We get a little bit more of an attitude, and they suck at driving out here.
Yeah, they do. God forbid it rains.
Oh, yeah. You get a drizzle, you know. People are putting chains on their tires.
Now, I know before it was hard for you to really focus on fighting. Has Team Quest made it possible for you, besides just the training, to really go for your aspirations of being a pro? Have they helped you make it a reality 100%? Like, you don't have to do any side jobs and, you know.
I still work. There's enough hours in the day to work. I'm a bartender, too, at California's biggest casino, Pechanga. But, you know what makes Team Quest so great? There's no poisons in here. No people drinking excessively, doing drugs, bringing you down, partying. You know, a lot of us are in the same form, come from all different parts of the world and gave up everything just to be out here and make it a career.
No late nights on the Jersey Shore getting thrown out of, the finest drinking establishments.
No late nights in the Jersey Shore. And, you know, it's helpful. We're kind of, we're not in San Diego. We're not in L.A., so we're out in the major city. So it's easy to stay distraction-free.
Now, Tom, during your training camp, what does your diet basically look like? Because I know you said you started the camp at 85, and now you're trying to get to 55 with minimal water loss. What is a day in Tom Galecchio's life look like as far as diets concerned?
Yes, it's called My Primal Cravings. What they do is they drop off food every other day, pre-made meals, all portion control and everything, gluten-free, dairy-free. And basically all they got to do is microwave it.
That must be super easy for you to keep your weight down then and keep on track with your diet.
Yeah, it is. It is super easy, and it's nice not having to make food too much and meal prep and all that. It's already done.
What is something like that for, like, the normal dude cost?
It's for 3 meals and 2 snacks a day. It's $200 a week, so it's not too bad.
That's not bad at all. People spend like double that on groceries and all that shit
easily, plus Friday night drinking.
Plus jerking off in a pool. What? What are you talking about, man?
Well, it depends on what motel you go to. Yeah, unless you have a pool. That just costs them money to keep that thing going.
Now, tell me, besides training there, besides bartending, I mean, is there a lot for you to do to actually have some downtime, have some fun? Or is it basically you've 100% committed to that lifestyle to get to your goal of the UFC?
I'm pretty much 100% dedicated. You know, I get to hang out with my team. We're all kind of family because we're all in the same kind of position.
Missionary.
So, I don't have any hobbies like dirt biking or four wheeling, although it's very popular out here. I think Maz told me he wanted to come out here and show me his lifted truck.
Yo, only if you wear your black socks and flat-billed hat.
I only have dress socks, but I can make them come up to my knees. Man, you know what I see out here? Fox Racing.
Fox Racing?
Stuff. I never thought that company was any good at anything.
What is that?
It's just like a... What do they do, like motocross?
I guess so. I don't know. I only saw one kid in New Jersey always wearing it, so...
He was probably from Pine Barrens.
Yeah, I think he was deep in Jackson.
Now, with Team Quest taking care of you and everything like that, what, in your opinion, do you feel like the UFC now is inevitable now that you have the right training, the diet's on point, you're in the best mindset ever? In Jersey, I got to be honest, I always thought you were talented, but I thought it was going to be really rough for you. You assessing the situation, how close is your dream of getting to the UFC now?
I think it's within a fight or two away. And the only thing that's going to keep me from getting to the UFC is losing. Like, point blank. There's no other way. I got to win these next two. And I think Dan will make the call for me.
That's awesome.
Now.
Yeah, I think I just got to win these next two and keep moving up that world ranking.
Hell yeah. Now, you know, a big thing that's going around in the UFC, TRT, steroids, this and that. Looking at, you know, your past experience with fighting, in the local shows when you were back here in Jersey, how often do you think you were competing against guys taking performance-enhancing drugs?
I would say probably like a coin flip, about 50-50. You know, it's still in the sport. It's still everywhere. I personally don't indulge in the finer arts. But it's there, and I'm sure some of my opponents have been juiced up.
Now, can you tell me and Maz where we can get some? Because we're looking for it for ourselves.
I believe you got to go down to Belmar.
Oh, okay.
Or there's any local gym in Belmar, or you could make your way up to Staten Island.
All right, I'm going to make note of that.
Well, in Staten Island, you can get that, self-tanner, and probably a sick shape-up, and a tribal tattoo.
And an amazing rub and tug.
You get some stat rats out there, too.
There you go, it's a one-stop shop.
Stat rats.
Sorry, buddy, you go.
Now, Tom...
We only have brohos out here.
Yo, I love brohos and bottle rats.
There you go.
Yeah, you know what's funny? I see these, like, you know, hot girls, and I'm like, wow, you're way too hot to be that slutty.
How's that working out for you? Have you been able to acquire some of those nice Southern California girls?
You been slamming any pussy, bro?
You know, I get it in when I can, but I gotta stay focused as much as possible.
It's like the life
of a bachelor. Chicks can bring you down unless you find a gem.
No diamonds are rough in the Inland Empire?
They're few and far in between. You ain't gonna find them at the bar, that's for sure.
Ah, come on, a good-looking guy like you, with being a bartender, professional fighter, you know, you got the mean physique and the look. You can't pull any?
I didn't say I couldn't pull any. I'm saying the diamond and the rough you ain't going to find at the bar.
What if she was like a rich older chick at the bar, you know, gambling away her inheritance / trust fund?
I haven't came across them yet. I'm unfortunately stuck in a sports bar, so I'm not on the floor. But if one comes my way, I definitely wouldn't pass it up. I could use these sugar mama.
There you go. Now, Tom, are there any other supplements that you take personally to help you with performance and just getting through your day-to-day?
Yeah, I really only take one supplement. It's called ibuprofen.
Have you contacted them for a sponsorship?
I don't don't know who to contact for that. Is that who even makes ibuprofen? This gift from the gods.
I have no idea. How's your body been now since you're kind of training full time? Are you getting kind of beat up? Or are you getting like lagging, nagging injuries? Is your body kind of as resilient?
Oh,
as
yeah. I am just hurt all around. I have a chiropractor and a massage therapist that just keep me going week to week.
So now that's a part of your normal schedule. I mean, do they encourage you, your coaches, to do anything else besides going to the chiropractor, massage therapist, like stretching, yoga, et cetera, or it's basically you need to get, you need just hands-on work like that?
Hands-on.
Hands-on.
Hey, I love hands-on work, especially if it's from an Asian girl.
Oh, man.
But Pat Miletic, when I was out in the MFC last time, before my last win, we were talking like old-timers, and he said, the one thing I tell the young fighters is do your yoga.
And have you started it or no?
I do it a little bit. I dabble. I used to be really into it. But unfortunately, sometimes the schedule doesn't mash up with the yoga.
And then you realized you were straight.
Straight as a bent arrow.
There you go.
Yeah, but I mean, usually in some of those yoga schools, there's kind of nice looking females with those tight black yoga pants, they say, or they were originated from.
Or if you take the hot yoga.
We actually offered a Team Quest.
Do you teach that?
I haven't got fitted for my yoga pants yet, but as soon as I get that, maybe I'll do that. Maybe I need some fake tits too.
Yeah, I'm okay.
They seem to grow around here.
Now I know a lot of fighters that have been fighting even half as long as you have just been plagued with injuries, and we were just making note of that a second ago. What are some of the worst injuries you've acquired throughout your fight career?
About a year, maybe a year and a half ago, maybe even closer to 2 years, about a year and a half ago in 2 years, I tore my meniscus and MCL and I needed major surgery. So I was back in Jersey healing up not too long ago.
And then the rest, would you say, were just like,
I had to learn how to walk again in the whole 9 yards.
Ah, Jesus. And was like, how long did that put you out for? About 6 months?
Oh, I was closer about 9 months, a year. It took me about 2 years, about, I would say, a year and a half, 2 years to really fully recover from it. You know, you got to learn how to wrestle again. You got to learn how to grapple again. You got to learn how to strike again.
Oh, wow, that's crazy.
Now, besides that, would you say you were lucky enough just to have little minor bumps, bruises, stuff like that, or were there any other things that stuck out?
Nothing that really stuck out. That was pretty major, though. Besides, I've been cut a billion times.
Does that affect you now in your normal fights? Like cuts reopening, or is it just whatever?
Yeah, they reopen all the time.
Even like, you know, when you're at the beach?
I don't get to go to the beach too much. Unfortunately, I'm stuck being the inland emperor.
So, Tom, if we were to ask you, what are your goals for the next year? What are your goals in the next 5 years? What would you tell us?
Shoot, hopefully I'll still be fighting. You know, as far as my goals are, hopefully I can make it to the UFC within this year. And hopefully by 5 years I'll have the belt. And then I could be on an island drinking out of a coconut bowl.
Nice. We could be with Tom Hanks on a deserted island. Are you
yelling at my volleyball?
Are you going to be looking for Flight 370, yes or no?
Excuse me?
Are you going to be looking for Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 while you're on your deserted island?
Yeah, I've heard so many theories about that. I keep telling everybody it's in the Team Quest Lost and Found.
Oh, my God. Okay. Now, Tom, for most people that don't know, you've had some pretty memorable fights against some really big names. What was one of your most memorable fights and why?
Well, I've been having tough fights since the beginning. Like I mentioned, Mark Stevens, that was very memorable because I got soccer kicked 4 times and had no idea it was illegal.
Awesome.
No idea. I didn't even really know the rules when I first started fighting. As far as others, you know, I had some tough fights along the way. Then Igor Gracie was a very, very tough fight. It was a nice step up. I think I broke a record in there with on his face with just most punches thrown and landed in rounds.
That's amazing. And who was your strength and conditioning coach for that fight?
I went to a guy named Jay Lally. He was awesome. He's in Northern Jersey. Man, I wish I could take him with me. He does all major athletes, and he's just tough as shit. If you ever end up in the Mahwah area, look him up. He's a badass.
Now, is that
he understood the game.
What, does he have his own gym, or is it just personal training, group classes? How does he run?
He does it. He does group classes. He travels all to different places. And I believe he works on a lot of sports teams, too. He's probably the best I've ever been with, hands down. But he kind of does his own thing. He's a diamond in the rough.
Now, I got to ask you, Tom, because there's a lot of people who, believe it or not, look up to you as being a dude from Jersey who's on his way to making it. What is some advice you can give to a young dude aspiring to get to the UFC, and what should they avoid on their way there?
Avoid the bad temptations. Stay focused. And don't get caught up in your own hype.
Now, what
stay poison free.
And in your opinion, what about as far as, because, you know, me and you have talked about this in the past. What about trainers? What should they look for in a trainer and in their training? What are things that you've realized through your own experiences?
First, you got to make sure you have a good trainer, a good, solid trainer, you know, who's a master of his art. Somebody who doesn't really have any ego, too. That's very important. You don't want to be in someone else's world. You want them to focus on you and not be egotistical, because ego is your worst enemy. And that's probably something I could tell a young fighter. Ego is your worst enemy. So you got to make sure you have a guy who knows his stuff and doesn't have an ego.
Now, do you think your wrestling background was probably the best base of background you could have bringing in mixed martial arts, or would you tell a young kid just to kind of learn everything at the same time?
No, I would tell kids to wrestle as much as possible and try to do it even past college if you're able to.
But what if they get into the WWE?
You know, I just think I'm all about wrestling. And then the proof is in the pudding. One of my old wrestling coaches, Steve Rivera, runs Elite Wrestling. That's where I knew Frankie Edgar through. He took his kids, all his young kids that do the wrestling, and they just knew a little bit of jiu-jitsu. They do it one day a week. And took them to the Naga or Grappler's Quest, and they all took gold.
Wow.
And they were badass kids wrestlers, and they all took gold just because they knew to just out-wrestle all the jiu-jitsu kids.
Do you think Joffre could...
And they knew how to stay out of trouble.
Do you think Joffre could fit into the kids' classes over there?
He might be a little too small.
Damn. No, it's so awesome to see you doing this, man. Like, me and Maz talk about it all the time. You know, my options in Jersey were so limited that I basically was training myself, and now I'm essentially done fighting because I don't want to run my own training camps. You did something that I always thought about doing, but I wasn't gutsy enough to do it. So that's pretty ballsy what you did, man. You packed up your whole life for this dream. So obviously this is something that you're committed to 100%.
It was either that or I was going to open a gym. And I've talked to Maz about that forever and trying to fill it with the best coach possible to make a one-stop shop. Because there are some great coaches in Jersey. I mean, look at George Sullivan made it to the UFC and he's looking better and better. But it was either open my own gym, which I had the money to do, but I all of a sudden changed my mind and just decided to move away.
Now, Tom, if you could put together like an all-star team of your own gym, you know, encompassing all the best coaches that you know or that you like, who would it be?
Are we talking Jersey-wise, California-wise, or all over?
Just in general, anybody that you like or from anywhere in the world.
First of all, I would go with stand-up. I'd get my my Muay Thai coach, Daniel Warren. He used to be head of the French national team.
Wow.
He did Anderson Silva's stand-up, Vitor Belfort, Lyoto Machida, and now he's with Dan Henderson, scooped them up from them, from Black House. He did Cyril Diabate's, so he's worked with some of the top-tier professionals. I'd make him the striking coach. As wrestling-wise, I'd have to get my old coach, Steve Rivera, in the mix. He really taught me a lot about wrestling and being a man and everything. As far as grappling goes, let's go with Gi Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I'd put my coach, Ricardo Feliciano. No, in fact, I'll go a step further. I'd put his coach, Leo Vera. I'd take them both. And then for Nogi, I would take my coach out here, Brian Harper, as well as my old coach in Jersey, Dan Fisher, who was just awesome, awesome. That was one of the people that it was very hard to leave. And then strength and condition, it would be Jay Lally and Fred Killian. And he'd also work with the boxing too, Fred Killian.
Yeah, Fred's the man. I mean, that dude, not only can he teach you how to box, he'll teach you how to kill somebody.
Oh, yeah, he's a badass, man. I miss Fred. I kind of lost contact with him.
I'm sure he would love to hear from you. You better give him a call, or he'll find you.
I'm going to stop in with the belt.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah. So any plans of coming to visit Jersey anytime soon?
I'm hoping after this fight I could leave and go to Jersey for a week. It all depends on if work will let me.
Just watch out of the temptations of New Jersey in the summer.
Yeah, well, it would be May. I don't know if that's summer yet.
Oh, it's full swing.
I could have a little time off. I could go be a scumbag in Asbury Park for a little bit.
Yeah, but you don't want to go back with an STD, bro.
Again.
Yeah. It's the gift that keeps on giving. You can't catch herpes twice.
Oh, Tom. Tom, would you mind telling your little story about your favorite jiu-jitsu gi that you were telling me earlier that we were reminiscing about?
You mean my pretty much only jiu-jitsu gi? I got a gameless gi from Kurt. I paid like a cost for it, and then I sewed a Homer Simpson patch on it.
Oh, that's awesome. That's
from the episode of Mr. Sparkle.
And how did that go over?
The detergent box.
How did that go over with Kurt?
Everybody loved the gi. I haven't had anybody say a problem. Everybody kind of loved it.
That's awesome.
And real Simpsons fans really loved it.
Yeah, you can't look at it and not smile or laugh.
Yeah, and that's probably the only patch I have on my gi right now, as far as it goes. I will definitely put a checkmat gi patch on eventually when I get around to it.
What's it like training jiu-jitsu with some of the best jiu-jitsu guys in the world out there?
Oh, man, I'm very fortunate to just be in one place and have it all. It's great and to get many different styles. And tell you what, Leo Vera was in for a few weeks while my coach was in Brazil with Dan. And, man, that guy is awesome. And it was just such an honor and pleasure to work with him.
It's awesome, man, to hear that not only – do you have the best coaches in each discipline, but you have the best training partners? I mean, it's almost now, it's like you made everything come together for yourself. And honestly, I only see you going to the top, man. Everything is now aligned. It wasn't aligned before, and you're still young. You can make this a reality. So that's awesome, man. God bless that.
Hell yeah, I like to think I still have 10 more years left in it, but I'm starting to get the training camp blues where I'm like, oh, fuck, why do I do this?
How old are you now, Tom?
27.
Oh, okay, you still got some time. I remember when I met you at, I believe it was Kevin Mulhall's gym.
Jersey Fight Club, yes, I believe we met at, I probably was only about 21 back then.
Yeah, that was back in the heyday, I remember that.
And love at first sight.
Love at first sight, exactly, I was like...
Love at first sight, Jopper was the man. He always kept catching me with this rib kick.
I know, I was like, oh man, this motherfucker's got the heaviest hands ever, kick him in the body.
Luckily, I'm a lot more disciplined. We'll have to mix it up next time I'm in Jersey.
That's alright, Maz will take my place.
Fuck no.
All right, good.
I'm retired.
I'll turn it into good guy Muay Thai.
Oh, yeah, I'm retired after Italy, so I let Mass take the punch.
No, I'm good. Tom already gave me my
I don't blame you. How's your retired life?
Bro, it doesn't matter even if you have all the reasons in the world to retire. The minute you say you're done, you want to do it again.
Yeah, I heard that. I know Forrest said he was done about a year or two ago, and he said it was just a ploy to fight again. Then he said he couldn't lift his arm to brush his teeth, and he was really done.
Yeah, I mean, you know what it is? I think what you did is the only way to make it. You know, I had aspirations of getting into Glory, and then when I realized, wow, these dudes have a private coach, a group of killers to prep them. They have everything going for them.
Nutritionist,
everything. It was just like, all right, I think amateur world title is a good way to go out and just give my last bow.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's hard to hang it up. Vladimir Matyushenko just retired, too, here in Temecula.
Yeah, and so did that other dude, Mac Danzik. He actually retired a smart way. He got knocked out 3 times and said, yeah, I don't want to do this no more.
Yeah. Luckily, I haven't been put to sleep, so as far as that goes, if another major injury comes where I need surgery and I have to learn to walk again, I probably can't go through with it again.
Now, Tom, we have 2 more questions for you before we start rolling up. Any shout-outs or sponsors or anybody you want to just give a hello to while we got you?
All right, well, we got me right now. My sponsors are My Primal Cravings. So I want to give them a big shout-out for making me thin and beautiful. who else is my sponsors? Dedicated Tattoos for covering up some bad work. They're awesome. Guy Rolls Jiu-Jitsu, cool guy, good family man, and does great work. East Street Bagels, my man Gus has always told it down, best bagel shop in Jersey, hands down. And as far as that goes, that's pretty much all the sponsors I have. I'd like to give a shout-out to my coaches, Daniel Warren, world-class Muay Thai coach, Ricardo Feliciano, Pacho. He is a second-degree black belt under Leo Vera, badass. My wrestling coach, Ian Milan, has been really helping me up my game. And my MMA coach, Brian Harper, as well as Dan Henderson for letting me, taking me into the gym and letting me be a part of his family.
That's awesome. Now, Tom, we have one last segment of questions for you, and it's going to be our random question segment. So I'm literally going to ask you a random...
Yes, Dan Henderson does hit very, very hard. And he's a beast.
That wasn't it, but I'm just thinking...
I'll shoot one first.
All right, Josh, you go first.
This is going to be a little scandalous. Who was the worst coach you ever had?
Worst coach I ever had? It would have to be 2 wrestling coaches. One was my middle school coach who just kind of didn't really like me and didn't see all the potential I had. His name was Mr. Brown. He fucking sucked.
Yeah.
Fuck him.
As far as a coach.
Fuck Mr. Brown.
It didn't take till high school for my coaches to really help me get mentally and take the sport more seriously.
And then who was the second one?
Yeah, as far as bad coach. Was another wrestling coach when I was a youth. I forget his name. It's been so long, but he was just a dick to me and hated me.
Who could be mean to you, Tom?
You're the dude with a constant smile on his face.
I know, but as a kid, I don't know. I had some great coaches, but one guy in the room just didn't like me and was a dick to me.
All right, now my question. I want to know approximately how many drinking establishments you have been thrown out and or banned from in the greater Monmouth County area.
Oh man, I've gotten thrown out of Bar A countless times. I wonder if they still remember me. Last time I checked, I was on my last strike. I've been another one I've been kicked out of. I'm not going to say their name because I don't want to give any publicity. Yeah, but I'm not allowed back there. For almost beating up the owner because he was being a faggot.
kicked out of janks before, but who hasn't?
Yeah, everybody has. That's just part of the deal.
Well, here's the trick. If you get kicked out of janks, they put X's on your hands. Go walk the boardwalk, lick your fingers, and wipe them X's off. You'll get right back in.
That's a perfect tip for the upcoming summer season, Tom, but...
Yeah, so you're really kicked out unless you're smart. Then you're not kicked out for good.
And then you're just an idiot.
It's almost like a test.
All right, Tom, man, we'll let you get going. We know you got to go finish your training sessions up tonight. We really appreciate you having you on. And yeah,
thank you, buddy. We appreciate it.
We're going to look to see you win in the next few weeks and put another belt on your wall.
Yeah, absolutely. And after I get that, I better be back on the show. It's been real fun, guys. It's been real.
We'll do an in the studio one where we'll even have video and everything.
Yeah, with the title.
Hell yeah.
We have to do it.
You got
to
wear the belt around the mall.
Hell, we could have a drink too.
All right, buddy. We love you, and we'll see you soon, all right?
Take care, man.
Love you too, guys. Keep doing your things. Bad guy Muay Thai. I love it.
Later, Tom.
Later, buddy.
Later, guys.